You're listening to SBS News.
When Jatinder and Neeraja Ahuja arrived in Australia from Mumbai in 1991, they came to a country in the grip of an economic recession.
We came here with less than $1,000 in our hands. Just made it here by initially doing plenty of work. I've worked in restaurants, we have done cleaning, even though we came here as professionals, we got skilled migration, but still when we came it was time of recession, so we ended up doing all these things until we got the first breakthrough.
At first, the couple found themselves using public phone booths to stay connected to family back in India, before a landline was connected in their family home.
So we used landline, we called weekly both our families, and it was not a concern, even though the cost of the call at that time was $2 per minute, but for us it was important because we value that quality time with family even at that time. And later on, once I settled down, then I started inviting my parent and her parents here. And as we saw, the cost of calling came coming down. But first 10 years, it was just telephones.
By the early 2000s, the couple had started communicating with family in India via email, which was slowly becoming more common. But the real challenge was video conferencing, a technology Jatinder and Neeraja needed for their small business, but which was not yet widely available. Video conferencing from home meant the couple had to connect 6 different phone lines to their house and paid thousands of dollars for 2 cameras to enable video calls.
And I remember paying more than $20,000 a year to Telstra for the phone bill as well.
Because it's not a single line, you cannot get the quality of video. You have to have 6 lines.
It's a piece of junk now.
My equipment is a piece of junk.
They are still as passionate about keeping in touch with family, but in 2020, the task is much easier.
From here, as well as my siblings in India, in Delhi, teaching my mother how to do FaceTime because she's not a tech-savvy person, or she thought. But because she was there and I'm here and we wanted to see face-to-face as well, so she was given a smartphone, so that we can do FaceTime. So she has, obviously by now, she has picked up. And that's the least I can do. I can't physically support them, but at least emotional connection. I think as her daughter, I want to make sure that I'm doing that. And so that's why I call. But now even with siblings, because there's a lot more videos are happening with the technology that is there. So we know a lot of times, we know who's cooking what, and we can see the plate. So it is a lot more connection that is there, even in spite of the physical distances. So I think that's what it is there. It's the heart connections, and you don't want to drop it just because you are in another country.
The video calls back to India at the moment are even more frequent than usual. Jatinder's father was visiting Perth when the coronavirus pandemic spread to Australia. He's trapped here until international travel resumes and misses his life in India and speaking Hindi.
Pictures speak 1,000 words, and I think that video live discussion and talk, it perhaps speak 1,000,000 words. You convey your emotion, you convey your face expression, and that connection you have in childhood, you can be very free and be yourself, and every conversation which you have with your brother, sibling, children you love,
and
that message gets friends, and that get conveyed. Sometimes you don't have to even say much, but that small connection, video connection, is more powerful than a longer audio conversation.
Jatinder and Neeraja's story is one familiar to many Australian families of migrant backgrounds. Now, researchers in Western Australia have looked into this piece of the nation's history to see what other Australians can learn from their experiences. Loretta Baltazar is a professor at the University of Western Australia's Social Care and Social Ageing Living Laboratory.
And what we find is that migrants are highly motivated to explore and be innovative and learn all the possible ways that they can stay in touch across distance. 30 years ago, that meant, you know, searching for the cheapest phone card. But today, with the multiple ways that we can stay in touch using communication technologies, what's emerged are a number of different patterns and ways of doing this.
Professor Baltazar and a team of researchers reviewed 30 years of data that included the practices of 400 migrant families to examine how they cared for each other across physical distances.
Families are really good at developing ritual ways of using the call. So again, you know, it might be weekly, it might be, you know, once a day for a story book reading. It might be once a day to learn some language, you know, to help teach the kids the homeland language. The key message here, I think, is to develop rituals and routines, because that helps everyone feel connected, feel like they're in control of that connection, and feel like they're doing enough. And it also provides the avenues to share information and check in on each other and see how each other are going, and to establish that sense of feeling connected all the time, even when you're physically distant.
The combination of routine, ritual, and crisis communication, researchers say, creates not only an important sense of connection in the digital world, it also means relatives are more likely to make a physical visit in the real world.
What we find is that the more time you spend together in person, the more time you spend together online. And the more time you stay connected online, the more motivated you are to make a visit. So those families who maybe meet, those family members who maybe meet for the first time on Skype, they're more motivated to save up money to make a visit to meet their cousins or their aunts and uncles. So it actually, we have to think about the relationship of online and offline worlds together.
It's a long tradition of staying connected in an ever-changing world. And you can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Aaron Fernandez, SBS News.